Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in us, getting us ready, Lord, rooting out all that old darkness in our hearts, Lord, humbling us, taking pride in everything else that's disobedient to your word, Lord, away from us, out of us. Keep us all as willing vessels, Lord, to have all of that stuff rooted out of us by your word, Lord, and by your grace and your mercy. Get it all out of us. Let there be so much of you in us, Lord, that nothing else can be there. Just fill us with your Holy Spirit to the point that nothing else has room to come in, and that all idols have to go. All the disobedience has to go. All the eyes of the world on the world is back to you. All the flesh has been burnt. We put it on the altar for you, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're making and molding willing vessels for you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us to the place to where we're coming into that love for each other and you. Because when we love you, Lord, we should love each other as well. Sometimes, Father, if our flesh is still alive, we feel that rising up, and then we have to give it to you, don't we? And we lay it on your altar. And Lord, I just thank you that you're taking your meat pounder and pounding all of that out of us and molding us back into your likeness, Lord. And that your spirit is so full into us, Lord, that we can't do anything but what you want us to do. Let us walk ever so lightly, Lord, that we can hear your voice every step. Give us, Lord, the knowledge and wisdom and discernment that we need in the days ahead to help other people to attain to your likeness, Lord. Maturity is what you want. Maturity is what you'll get from us. We willfully lay down everything for you, Lord. We absolutely surrender everything to you, Father. We surrender our loved ones to you, Lord, because we know when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it, Lord. And we believe in household salvation. We know that those are coming in. And we thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us, in the name of Jesus. You've told your servant, Linda Lomax, you told her, you said, I have told you I will save all those being interceded for in this time. And it's true. Behold, you will see my great and mighty power working in lives you had all but given up on. Watch now as I delight in saving some of those you consider with the least hope. Those you have continued to intercede for, those you have entrusted to me, watch now as I deliver from drugs, from prostitution, from corruption, some of those most dear to your hearts. I always reward great faith. Lift up your faith to me in prayer in these days, my children. I long to show my mighty power in the lives of those you love. I long to answer your prayers, but you must lift up your faith to me. Pray now for all those you wish to see me save. Pray daily and pray with great faith. Pray in my authority. Pray without ceasing. I know how to save them, for I alone know why they do not believe. And I praise you, Father, that that's what you're going to do for all of us. Because I, for one, I'm going to be in there with faith to believe just like I have for the last 20 years, 20 some odd years, believing for my loved ones. Those that don't look like they're going to come in, Lord, they're going to come in. God, we're going to have faith for each other. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you're going to do tonight in each one of us, Lord. And that your glory falls down upon us, Lord. Your anointing falls upon us, Lord, and anoint us to speak those things that you'd have us to speak, that it would be a blessing to all of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. I just read you Lift Up Your Faith by Linda Lomax. That's the latest word that she had that somebody gave us. And I believe it. I believe it's the time. It's the time to believe God for your family members. It's time to believe God for those that are lost and out there running wild. Because God said he can do it. And if he says he can do it, I believe it. Don't y'all? Amen. Okay. We've all got people that don't look like they can be saved. It doesn't look like anything in the world could save them. But I'm telling you, but God. But God. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? I want y'all to believe with me first, okay? I'm going to be first. I got my hand up. I'm going to be first. Y'all pray with me, believe with me. Hook your faith up with mine, because I've got a heavy burden, but it's giving it to Jesus. Lord, I lift up Blake to you. Lord, you know where he is. You know what's going on. I laid him on the altar the other night. I'm just going to tell you right now, I believe that you're going to restore him, that you're going to make that mighty man of God out of him that you showed me many, many, many years ago. And I praise you, Father, that the work you're doing right now will help him in the years to come. Lord, I thank you that I believe that you have given me great faith to do that. You've given me the words to say to other people when they call me and tell me things, you know, and I just tell them, well, I'm believing. I'm not going to leave from you, Lord. I'm going to believe it every day, and I'm going to thank you every day for the work you're doing in Blake in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for taking the grief away from him, taking the demons away from him, taking the drugs, the addiction, and all of that stuff away from him, Father, because I have faith in you. And I trust you to do and to carry out what you promised us. And I thank you for it. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Nobody else? Oh, Missy, sorry. I'm trying to do two things at once. I'm failing at both. Go ahead.
That's all right. I didn't have my hand held. I held up right away. I'd like to pray for Merle. He really had a hard time last night sleeping, and then he tried to lay down and take a nap a couple times a day and just didn't. Now I noticed, I think he's fallen asleep a couple times briefly on the sofa, so so I just want to pray for him, and then I have something for me then. Anyway, so Father, I just ask you, Lord, that whatever it is that is keeping Merle from sleeping, I just command it to go in the name of Jesus, give him peace and rest in his heart, Lord, and I ask in Jesus' name, and any thoughts that, you know, or any attack on his mind or anything in his body, whatever it may be, Lord, I just ask you to I just command it to go in Jesus' name, and I thank you for giving him a good peaceful rest tonight in Jesus' name. And then for me, earlier I bit down on something, and I was kind of surprised that it kind of hurt my tooth a little bit, because it wasn't anything that was real hard. And then later when I was chewing, it hurt just a little bit, but it wasn't anything major. And then later on I was chewing something else, and a piece of my tooth had cracked off one of my molars. So anyway, I just want to pray that the Lord just keep that and it, that he repairs it and heals it, and nothing else chips off my tooth in Jesus' name. No more. No, the rest of it stays intact in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for restoring my tooth. I thank you for restoring my other tooth too, Lord, that I've had the same issue with, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you, keeping it from decaying or anything, and for completely restoring it, Lord, and healing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command brand new enamel on both of those teeth, like a new one, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, I command that neck to be healed too. Is that what you're doing? Are you just stretching? Oh, good gracious, I thought you were hurting now. Okay. I pal Judy and Sue G. How y'all?
Amen. I asked the ones in the prayer meeting to pray for Scott, my stepson. I don't know if you remember that, Michael. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Where they they didn't know where he was. Well, they did find out where he was. I mean, he was out of that apartment for over a month on the October, when they were checking on him by the middle of November. He wasn't there, and he had a bird, and the bird died. And they were looking all over. They didn't know where he was. And here he had been arrested by the police, and had he's a believer, but he was arrested by the police because of and he had to go into court at 10 on October 5th, and he ended up being put in jail because what he did was somebody was following him from behind and was going too close, and he was not happy about that, and so he just put his brake on. He kept putting his brake on because the guy was so too close, and the guy ended up following him home. And then he got scared because this guy was following him and followed him home. And he had a BB gun in his house, his apartment. He brought it out. He was threatening him with that. He said, "Get away from me," and everything. And he didn't shoot it or nothing like that. But he got a warrant for arrest because of what he did. And he's in jail now because of it. He did have surgery years ago on Missy knows him. And it was on the front of his brain where they had to have some cancer removed. And he in the past, he's always dealt with anger after that, and had a hard time with getting angry easily. So I just lifted him up, found him. We didn't know whether he was living or dead, but I lift him up. I'd like to lift him up in prayer. Lord, I just pray for Scott. I pray that you would show him that anger is not the way to go. Lord, he has you in his spirit. You're one of his, Lord. Just pray that you, I don't know how long he's going to be in prison, but Lord, I just pray that you continue to cover him and keep him and save him free from harm. And Lord, whatever you need to do, wherever, I don't know how long, but if he has to go somewhere other, he can't go back to his apartment. We know that, but put him in a place of safety where he can stay, and people can take care of him, because he has he needs help with his situation. I would like to see him get healed of his mind, where they took some of the brain out of his head, that he wouldn't have the dementia that they said. I'd pray for healing. You and I prayed for healing over his mind, that he would come back to restoration. Yes, Lord. And be able to think properly and not forget things, not have any dementia or anything, and that we pray against any cancer that could have come back. Yes, Lord. We break the power of Satan over him in the name of Jesus in all aspects. And we thank you, Father, for restoring his body and his mind and his spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with yours, Sue and Judy, and we believe. Thank you, Lord, for healing that boy. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I have a few, well, two things, you know, especially I've been noticing the last couple of days, the back tooth in the far back there, it's feeling some, I don't know if that's early signs of cavities, whatever they are. So probably from my poor, my undisciplined way and just not brushing regularly. So I'm going to pray for myself on that, you know, and confess my laziness in that area. So, but I don't know if it's a result of that. So I'll pray. And then my right here on my arm, you know, where it's, I guess the, you know, right around the elbow, it's been hurting lately. I don't know if I pulled something or injury or work or whatever, but you know, agree with me. And even this weekend, you know, my body, I feel that's, I don't know. I mean, I've heard some say, well, when it gets colder out, you know, your body, your muscles start to ache or whatever. You know, I was like, well, I don't receive that. But I felt like, I mean, just kind of getting up and moving around or at least standing up from like, you know, sitting down this week, and I noticed it, and I have kind of noticed it a little bit lately. My body, for some reason, is just kind of feels a little bit weaker. You know, I don't know if that is the weather or whatever, but just agree with me, you know, and pray for healing in these areas most of all. So, Father God, I thank you for this time of just this fellowship, Lord. And I thank you we can come together, Lord, and in faith as we understand your word. It's clear, Lord. And by Jesus' stripes, Lord, your stripes, we were healed. We thank you, Lord, that by faith, Lord, at the cross, you gave us that benefit, Lord, of healing on whatever problems we have. And, Lord, I've got this this pain I've been feeling in the back of my tooth up there. Forgive me, Lord, for not disciplining myself to take care of my body. Help me, Lord. Help me to have discipline in all areas of my life, especially right now, hygiene here, you know, with the dental hygiene, Lord. Help me to overcome whatever laziness, whatever lack of discipline in this area, Lord, you know, so that these problems will not arise. But I pray for healing now. I just pray that you know, you'd clear up all that bacteria, any spirits of infirmity, any spirits of pain, whatever, connect that, go from me in the name of Jesus. And I just pray healing right now over my arm. By his stripes, I have been healed already. So I proclaim healing. I thank you, Lord. And I just pray healing over my body, over my muscles, these aches and pains, whatever, that whatever's connected with it, Lord. I look to you for my healing. I thank you for healing me, Lord. I thank you at the cross. I already was healed. And I thank you for this, Lord Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Joe. It is done.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? There they come. How come y'all got to land that computer now? Good gracious. Yeah, huh? I'm trying to drive the computer. Put the thing on the table. Praise God. You looking better, though. Amen. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Marlon. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for myself and pray for my neighbor, and I got a praise report. I just prayed for myself. I also got a tooth that's been bothering me. And I just ask everyone to agree with me that I was healed at the cross, and I don't have that toothache anymore. It's gone. Thank you, Lord, for giving us authority over those demonic spirits that bring those things about. Just cast out any demonic spirit that's causing that toothache in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that it's healed. We command it to be healed in Jesus' name. And then I'd like to lift up my neighbor. We've lived neighbors all my life and been friends. He's close to my age, a little younger than me. But he found out he had cancer the other day, and I talked to him, and he's got cancer in his lymph and his bones, and he's really in pretty bad shape. but he's a strong Catholic, and he's got a hard time talking to him about anything, but I just like to pray for him. His name is Donnie, and I just lift up Donnie to you, Lord. Ask you to put a desire in him for truth. Just come against any religious spirit that would keep him from receiving truth. And give him grace to repent and to look to you for his strength instead of the things of the world and his false religion that he's following. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in Donnie. And my praise report is, you know, last week I talked to you and you asked if we maybe see us down there. And I said, no, we've got a snowstorm coming. And we ended up that we're supposed to be in the heavy part of the snow. We're supposed to get over a foot of snow in places. And so we just prayed against that. We just commanded it to go around, made the comment and said it commanded to go north in Jesus' name. And we had said that to some different people, and they kind of looked at us a little funny. But I come in the other in here the other night, and we always watch the weather at 6 o'clock. And my wife said, well, they changed the weather. They said it went around to the north, and the heaviest part did. We still got a little snow, but where the heavy snow went, they got like 14 inches of snow. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah, I like it. When, now start praying for Hawaiian weather up there, Marla.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we thank you, Lord, that Donnie's going to open up his mind's eye to see and understand the promises of God are available to him, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Now, how are you going to talk with your mouth full? Go ahead, Will.
I'm bilingual and having full mouth. I don't know if I shared that testimony about my tooth, you know, that was hurting. Did I share that? I can't remember. But I started getting this throbbing pain in my mouth. Had pain in my neck, had pain in my back, had pain in my tooth. But the one that bothered me the most was my tooth pain. And I was trying to go to bed, you know, got to sleep for a second, woke up, throbbing pain. I was like, oh man, I just want this pain to go away. I said, let me pray against it. So I started to pray against it, you know. This is where the Lord stepped in, and he said to me, why are you praying because of the pain? And I was like, huh? He said, the only reason why you're praying is because you want the pain to go away so you can roll over and go to sleep. And I was like, yeah, that's what I wanted. I want the pain to go away so I can roll over and go to sleep. He said, you're not going to go to sleep. And so he began to tell me, he said, if you're only praying, you know, for the pain to go away, he said, is not my word more than the pain? And so I had to sit there and think about it. He says, you pray for the pain to go away, you know, but you're not surrendered, you know, to the words that you're speaking out your mouth. He said, I want you to pray about the pain. I want you to surrender to the words that are coming out your mouth about the pain. And so the way I began to understand what he was saying, you know, you're going to speak the word of God now. He said, I don't want you to think about the pain. I don't want you to focus on the pain, you know. I just want you to speak my word concerning, you know, dealing with that area, you know. And so I did what the Lord told me to do. I took my mind off the pain. And then the Holy Spirit took over. And all these scriptures started coming forth, you know. And he said, now I want you to surrender yourself completely to the word that came out your mouth. Don't think about the pain, you know. I want you to surrender yourself completely to the words that came out your mouth. Now it's like, okay, Lord, I started to do that, you know. And I can't tell you what happened, but I did that and I fell asleep. And I don't know when I fell asleep. And when I woke up, there was no pain. But I couldn't go back to sleep. And I'm like, oh man, I'm fully awake. I said, why am I awake? I said, you know, I'm like tossing and turning. You know, you try to get back in that comfortable position. Oh, I got to be up in 2 hours, 5 o'clock in the morning. I got to get some sleep, you know. And it dawned on me. I was like, oh, Father, I just praise you and I thank you for, you know, for what you, I had to praise him. He woke me back up to give him glory, you know. But what I learned from it was, you know, it's, don't pray because of the pain. He said, is not my word more important than the pain? Is not my word more than the pain? It kind of reminded me of that scripture, is not the life more than the garment? You know? And it helped me to see, you know, that if you're going to pray for healing and you're not absolutely surrendered to the word that deals with healing, you're going to become one of those individuals, oh Lord, please, please, until you get to that point where you surrender to the word. And that's what he was showing me. He said, you know, healing absolutely deals with surrendering to the word. That should be the most important thing, glorifying my word. And that's what he was showing me. He said, you know, my word above everything, you know. Doesn't matter if you're in prison, doesn't matter what type of sickness you have. Once you speak the word, it's not about cancer. It's not about tooth pain. It's not about being in prison. You know, Jesus Christ said it's for the glory of God. The situation is for the glory of God. You know, how is the glory of God manifested in this situation? By absolutely surrendering yourself to the word of God. Absolutely complete vulnerability. The only thing you're trusting in is the word of God. Not what time the pain is going to go away. Not the moment you're going to get healed. You know, you're not looking for a flash in the sky. You're not looking for a sign. You're not looking for a wonder. You know, you absolutely surrender yourself to the word of God. And I thought that was awesome what he taught me that night. Because that tooth was like, bah, I'm in charge. Carnality rules here. And that's what he was showing me. He said, your carnal mind rules over your faith and what you think healing is. Healing is absolute surrender to the words that you speak, you know, over the words that you speak from, you know, God's word. You have to surrender yourself completely to the word that you're speaking for the healing. You know, that's what faith is. It's absolute surrender. If you're struggling with the idea of faith, faith has a nature. It wants you to do something. It wants you to absolutely surrender to the word of God that's coming out your mouth. You know, and belief is death to self. Once you die to self, you know, it's like, you know, it's dying to self. Like, so if I said, you know, be healed in Jesus' name, you're looking for the moment and the time to be healed. You're not believing in Jesus' name. You're looking for the moment and the time, you know, you're seeking after a sign, you know, and no sign shall be given, you know, as Jesus said, but the sign of Jonah the prophet, you know. And so he was showing me, look, that's what you have to do whenever you're seeking healing from me. Absolutely surrender to the word of God that you're speaking out of your mouth. In fact, Don't just say I'm healed. Glorify my word. Surrender to it. You know, his word is so important to speak over healing. Not just, you know, I command you to be healed. But what does the word say about healing? You know, as the Holy Spirit gives you direction and gives you that word to speak out of your mouth, you know, even when you're praying for somebody else, you have to absolutely surrender that person to that word. You're left, you know, you're left, and he showed me, he's like, look, you're going to be absolutely naked. Now, what you going to do about that tooth pain? And that's what it made me feel like when I surrendered to his word and spoke the word of God over pain. I felt naked. I felt like all of my weapons, all of my special technique of trying to pray it and make God happy with my prayer and try to pray it a certain way so that be sweet to his ears so he'll be like, oh, it's healed. Oh. And just roll over and go to sleep. And God was like, no, you always give me that type of prayer when you come to me in pain. You know, I want you to surrender to my word. He said, if you can't pray a prayer where you are surrendered to the word, you know, you're going to be in pain. And my carnal man started arguing with God. Okay, God, I'm going to surrender to your word. But, you know, I might have to take my Advil to work. You know, not that it's going to heal me, but, you know, to numb the pain so I can do my job. And the Lord said, if you take that Advil, the pain is going to persist. And so, again, I felt naked. My, you know, my carnal man was trying to sew fig leaves together, trying to find a way, you know, to get, you know, get out the situation. And I said, okay, Lord, I said, I won't take the Advil. But yeah, he took away all the pain. First he took away the pain. Then he took away the swollen gums. You know, then he took away the back pain and took away the neck pain. It was all systematic, you know. And I found that to be really cool to understand the nature of faith, you know, and what it requires in its nature, not just the word. Oh, you got to have faith. No, faith has a nature. Belief has a nature, but you don't discover it until you surrender to what's coming out your mouth from the word of God. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. I'm done.
Amen. And that goes along with a lot of teachings that we have, you know, and that's study on the word. Get that word in your heart and understand that word. I know Hagin, he often talked about finding that scripture that dealt with his need, and he would study on that. He would just get it in his heart. He would, you know, even years, he knew the word, but he would just study on it, and he would just study on that and not on his need. And then that faith would come in and it was gone, you know. Praise God. Okay, Wade, go ahead, brother.
Well, last Friday, I went shopping, my monthly shopping. And when we were finishing up, getting in the car and all, getting the groceries in the car, it just started to rain a little bit, beginning of rain. And I said, I said to him, because I'm witnessing to him and praying that God will use, you know, help him. He believes in God, but he believes more in the books about God rather than the Bible. He reads books about the Bible. And I'm just wanting to get his interest on Jesus. Anyways, I prayed that it would stop raining. We got in the car and we drove off to my apartment's 15 miles from the grocery store, about 15 miles. Anyways, I prayed while we were riding. He said, you don't believe that God's going to make it stop raining. Could I continue praying even though we had already gotten in the car? We got in the car. I said, yes, God can stop it from raining. You know, it can. God can stop it. And it didn't stop, but we had 15 miles. We went, when we got near my house, when we got to the bridge, which is about 200 yards from my house, it stopped raining. And he said, wait, it stopped raining. I said, what? And I looked, and it had stopped raining. And he said, you really believe that? and we got out the car and unloaded the groceries. And it, before we finished, it started again, but we finished, you know, mostly dry. And I just want to thank God for that happening. And I pray for him. His name is Steve. I've mentioned him before in prayers, but he wants to learn about Christianity. He wants Jesus himself. And I'm having a bit of trouble. I'm not the best witness, but I do tell him about Jesus, you know, but he wants to talk about the books about Jesus or books about the book. Anyways, his name is Steve. I'd like to pray for him. And I thank God he heard my prayer for the rain, which has caught me off guard because it's about 15 miles and it stopped raining right when we got to the bridge by my house. So I thought that was something. That's it.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for showing way that the promises are true for all of us. Father, we thank you that he's being a light to the people around him. Even though it doesn't seem like they understand, they understand by Wade's and Jeanette's actions that God does answer our prayers. And Father, we thank you that Wade is a good witness for you. He's a light where he is. And Father, we just praise you for all that Wade and Jeanette are doing in that place they're at, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for honoring his prayers, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Yeah, iPad Judy, go ahead.
Well, first I want to say thank you, Willie. That was a great testimony, and it really went to my heart. So thank you for that. And also, this is a small testimony, but it's a big testimony to me, kind of. There's a women's shelter here in Madisonville, and my oldest daughter has been to several of those shelters, and the last one she was at in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I went to visit and went with her to church and different things, and I don't know, Lord put it on me, well, talk to Angie about that, you know, and maybe she can give some input to this new shelter or something. So I text her, and she was real excited about it, and just really thinking, she's just sending me text after text, oh, they ought to do this, or think about this, or this, or this, you know, so I thought, oh, Lord, that is so awesome, you got her thinking about this, because she's off work right now for a week, and she's getting bored, and so this is really going to be good for her, just to think, and maybe there is some way that the Lord's going to, you know, involve her even more, I don't know, but I just wanted to thank the Lord and praise him for doing this. In Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's what I wanted to say.
Amen.
Amen. I thought you had another one. Oh. Oh, no? Okay. All right. Okay. Anyone else? Glad to have you back, Pat. Yeah. Julie texted me and she's got some prayer needs here. I'll just read it to you. She said, prayer request for a young woman with an infant baby. Apparently the father of the child threw them out yesterday, and she and baby was traveling on Amtrak to Los Angeles to stay with family members. Felt led to help her and pray for them, so please lift them up that the Lord draw her and protect and provide for them, and that there would be forgiveness. And she added, she said, she seemed hurt and fearful. Well, Lord, we just lift up this young lady to you with her baby, and we ask, Lord, that you put your warrior angels round about her, Lord, and keep her protected, provide for whatever she needs, Lord, and let yourself be known strong to her, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that if she's not one of yours, that she will be. And we thank you, Father, for granting repentance to her and bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way to bring that baby up for you, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a a great trip up to Los Angeles, and it's going to be good to get back with her family members. And I praise you, Father, that there's going to be forgiveness in the family for whatever reason, and that she has an easy time while she's there. And Lord, I just ask that the Lord of the harvest send somebody to her to bring Jesus to her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? Okay. All right. Lord, we lift up Sunil to you, Monroe's wife, and his son. And we thank you, Father, for your big old warrior angels round about both of them as they travel by car to another part of the country over there. We thank you, Father, that it's going to be an easy trip, no problems. We thank you for your protection upon them. We thank you, Lord, that there's no fear in her heart because she believes that you're the one that's holding her in your hands, Lord, and that your protective hedge is all around about her as she goes. And, Lord, we thank you for taking her there and bringing her and her son back in Jesus' name very safely without any incidents whatsoever. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Amen. It's a done deal, I believe. Okay. You okay, Denny? I don't know, man. You wandering around there. Okay. Judy, you going to say something? Oh, okay. Anybody else need prayer or would like to pray? What are you doing, Judy? It keeps looking like you're going to go up there and unmute yourself.
No, I'm just looking to see what other... what other people are online.
Oh, okay.
Wait. Michael.
Yeah.
I looked on the blog and I saw that the message from Denny and Debbie, if they could bring that out so people can, these ones can hear that what happened to that one man.
Well, I don't know what style map. Go ahead.
The one that...
well, Debbie and Denny can...
Denny and Debbie, that they put on the blog about where this man had a heart attack, and they only had 10% of his heart working after that or something. Can they share that?
Well, sure. You have to ask him.
Yeah, can...
Yeah, Denny, you want to share that?
Yeah, I don't have the blog here in front of me, and Deb's not here right now, but yeah, he had a... he's had heart troubles in the past. He's a brother in the Lord that we know from up in Illinois, and he's living in Kentucky now, northern Kentucky, somewhere near Paducah. But he's ended up in the hospital and with heart problems. And the other day, his wife texted and said that they're saying that he's dying, that he only has 10% of his heart working. So we started praying, and others, we prayed night at the meeting. And I know David shared a testimony that there was a brother in the assembly years ago that had this, basically the same situation. 10% of his heart was working, and he was wrapped in a blanket when he came to the meeting because he was freezing. He was like ghostly white, and they prayed for him. And even during the meeting, his color started to come back to him. He started looking really pink and rosy, and you know, that he was healed. But that way, I think it just helped our faith a lot. But anyway, so the text we had today was that he's doing better and that all his vital signs are good, but he was still coughing up some blood from another situation he had going. I'm not sure what that was, but he seemed like he was just keeping praying and believing that his heart would be healed. You know, Barry prayed last night, the guy would just touch those areas of his heart and heal all the parts that aren't functioning well and put them in order, and leave God's answering that prayer. So, but it was an encouraging, so far an encouraging testimony. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Maybe we'll pray for him again. His name is Ned Ackley. And Lord, we pray for Ned, and we pray that his heart would respond to the word, Lord, the word that was ministered. And as we declare your word openly in the heavens, Father, we just believe that it goes forth and accomplishes your will, because you're the one who's inspiring us, God, to pray it in the first place and giving us the faith. So we just thank you for the answer. And we just command his heart to respond to the word of God. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Some scriptures on faith. Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. These are ones to meditate on if you're having problems. It's written in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. It's written in Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Then Matthew 8:13 says, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Thank you, Lord. It is written in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Thank you, Lord. You know, when you're showing, you're exhibiting faith, you speak it out of your mouth. You walk it out with your body. If you're believing for a healing, you don't say, well, I got this or I got that. No, you say what you speak is you confess the word of God, like Willie was talking about earlier. You confess the word of God. The word of God said, if he shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. So I've been healed. And it says also in Mark 10:27, there's one, for all things are possible with God. Everything is possible. If we put God in a box, that's where he's going to be. You take him out the box, you can believe like Marlon and Gano did up there that the snow ain't coming their way. You can believe like Marlon and Gano up there that cancer has got to go, and it went. You can believe like Willie did about his tooth, and it's got to go. It on and on and on. It's all in how we confess it, meditate on it. You get that word in you, I guarantee you, you'll use it. It is written, devil. It is written, devil. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that we don't have to. In the name of Jesus. That's just a few. I just wanted to throw them out there. A couple of them. Faith is the substance that we walk every day. That's our walk every day with Christ. People don't even understand out there that where we came from, we didn't understand faith until we understood how to God showed us what is faith. You know, we always thought because we listen to the preachers out there that tell us, you know, well, faith is believing that Jesus died on the cross and everything's going to be cool. You done got your ticket punched and you don't have to do nothing but sit back and wait on Jesus to come get you in that flaming chariot and take you out of here for all the bad stuff. No, faith is believing God now, believing the word of God now, putting it in your heart, and understand what it says and the promises that goes along with it, you know. And then you'll see mighty miracles like we see every day. That should be a daily thing. We ought to be seeing miracles every day. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm on. Y'all have heard me talk about faith a lot. I'm on this. All right. Yeah. Somebody else. What y'all want to talk about? Hi, Andrew. All right. Anybody else? You know something? I just kind of rambled here a little bit. I've been reading Andy Murray a little bit here and there. Andrew Murray, I call him Andy. He's me, my buddy. Oh, Andy, he takes the scriptures and he puts it in everyday language where if you have never read him, it encourages you in a mighty way. Or it does me anyway. You know, I get fired up when I read Andy. Boy, he can fire you up. And like holiness, he talks about holiness a lot and our walk in holiness. And he tells us, you know, that's something that God wants us to do. It's something that we have to do in order to bear fruit of Jesus, you know. And he just talks about it in such an inimitable, encouraging way that it's just awesome. Read you what he told me today. I have a couple of these daily, what do you call them daily things where they give you a verse and they go over it.
Devotional.
Yeah, that's it. That's the word. Daily devotional. Here's the one for today. What's today? The fourth? Today's the fourth. Yeah. It says deeper life. Check it out. Matthew 13, verse 5. And others fell upon the rocky places where they had not much earth. And straightway they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. Here's what Andy said. He said, the seed sown upon the rocky places where the soil was superficial sprang up quickly. But it withered as quickly because there was no deepness of earth. We have here a striking picture of so much religion which begins well, but which does not endure. The Christian needs a deeper life. Let your whole life be an interest into that love which passes knowledge. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, St. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend what is the depth and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. And he prays that Christians may stand rooted first in the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, realizing and acknowledging that the depth of this love passes knowledge. He believes it possible for the soul of a Christian to be so rooted in this love that he may be filled with all the fullness of God in such measure as he may be granted to a saint upon the earth. And how may we attain to this? He says, I bow my knees unto the Father. That's a good start. The way to remain rooted in love is in humble prayer upon your knees before God. Furthermore, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, great indeed and wonderful, that you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man. Only in the life that knows the powerful working of the spirit is such a life rooted in love possible. And yet more, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The most important is that Christ in his everlasting love shall dwell in you every day, ensuring a life ever more deeply rooted in the love of him who gave himself for us. I beseech you, dear child of God, take time to bow before the Lord in prayer and thus meditate upon and appropriate these words. Do not grudge time or trouble. Commune with the Christ who loved you with the same love with which the Father loved him. That so you may get an insight into the greatness of the condescension of that love to you. Oh, praise be to God. Start out on your knees in the morning, folks. Humble yourself and ask God to fill your heart with all he's got so it'll root out everything else. That's what I've been praying here recently. Lord, just push it all out. I don't want nothing but you. I want to be a walking, talking Jesus. Because you know when you walk and talk in Jesus, you got joy, you got peace, you got love in your heart. You can spread it around. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Somebody else. Somebody else got something to comment or would like to ask a question or and want to encourage us? Set us on fire. Somebody. Come on. Oh, Missy, come on. I knew I could count on you, girl.
One of the first things you said before you read that, you said about holiness. And I was like, bingo.
Okay.
Actually, I'm reading Abide in Christ. I read something, I think it was Thursday. And I'm in chapter 9 or day 9, whatever you want to say. And I want to read the last three paragraphs. But the verse that goes with this is, it's 1 Corinthians 1:30. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, he started out with a day on wisdom, and then yesterday was righteousness, and today was sanctification or holiness. But anyway, this is what he said, the last three paragraphs of this before he put the note, but I'm not going to read the note. Anyway, it says, Christian, fear not to claim God's promises to make you holy. Listen not to the suggestion that the corruption of your old nature would render holiness an impossibility. In your flesh dwells no good thing, and that flesh, though crucified with Christ, is not yet dead, but will continually seek to rise and lead you to evil. But the Father is the husbandman. He has grafted the life of Christ on your life. That holy life is mightier than your evil life. Under the watchful care of the husbandman, that new life can keep down the workings of the evil within you. The evil nature is there with its unchanged tendency to rise up and show itself. But the new nature is there too, the living Christ. Your sanctification is there, and through him, all your powers can be sanctified as they rise into life and be made to bear fruit to the glory of the Father. And now if you would live a holy life, abide in Christ, your sanctification. Look upon him as the Holy One of God, who was made man that he might communicate to us the holiness of God. Listen when the scripture teaches that there is within you a nature, a new man, created in Christ Jesus in righteousness and true holiness. Remember that this holy nature that is in you is singularly fitted for living a holy life and performing all holy duties as much as, you know, Lord, as much so as the old nature is for your doing evil. I'm sorry, I gotta read that sentence over. I chopped that all up.
Go for it.
Remember that this holy nature that is in you is singularly fitted for living a holy life and performing all holy duties as much as the old nature is for doing evil. Understand that this holy nature within you has its root and life in Christ in heaven and can only grow and become strong as the dealings between it and its source are uninterrupted. And above all, believe most confidently that Jesus Christ himself delights in maintaining that new nature within you and imparting it to his own strength and wisdom for its work. Let that faith lead you daily to the surrender of all self-confidence and the confession of the utter corruption of all there is in you by nature. Let it fill you with a quiet and assured confidence that you are indeed able to do what the Father expects of you as his child under the covenant of his grace, because you have Christ strengthening you. Let it teach you to lay yourself and your services on the altar as spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable in his sight, a sweet smelling savor. Look not upon a life of holiness as a strain and an effort, but as the nature groweth of the life of Christ within you, and let ever again a quiet, hopeful, cheerful faith hold itself assured that all you need for a holy life will most assuredly be given you out of the holiness of Jesus. Thus will you understand and prove what it is to abide in Christ, our sanctification. And when I was reading back over this, I realized why this verse came to me when I got done reading this. I mean, and it's not a a verse that I had to go look it up, because the only thing that came to me was fitted for the master's use, and I couldn't find it at first because it's not worded that way. It's meat for the master's use in the ASV, but it's 2 Timothy 2:21, but I'm going to read 20 and 21. And I was just like, wow, because if you caught up here where I read before, where was that? It used the word fitted, and then what it says about here about our works or whatever down below, that's came to my mind. But it's 2 Timothy 2:20. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some unto honor and some unto dishonor. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And I was like, wow. I mean, I didn't even remember the sanctified part of the verse, but the Lord popped into my head, meet for the master's use, you know, which actually means he makes us able. So for the master's use to do, you know, to prepares us to do every good work of his and not our own, you know. It's our works that we put on the altar, our flesh, ourself or whatever. So yeah. So this is awesome. Because, you know, I was just this just really encouraged me, because the Lord was dealing with me about something this morning and all, and you know, I was just praying and repenting and everything, and it's just like some of the very words, some of the very things that I was praying and talking to the Lord about, you know, we're right in here. And I was just like, I was like so encouraged when I read this then, because I was like, he does that to me all the time. You know, he just lines things right up something that I read, you know, he lines it up with what I'm going through or whatever, you know, and that just always so encourages me when he does that. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like what he says there. He says, remember that this holy nature that is in you is singularly fitted for living a holy life and performing all holy duties as much so as the old nature is for doing evil. You know, in other words, you got a choice like we talked about last week. You can either do evil or you can do good. You know, perfectness. Hey, Tim. Hey, I just want to let y'all know that Tim is no longer in La La Land up there in Washington. No, is that right? Washington? Yeah, Washington. Hi, Tim.
Howdy, I hit the wrong button there, sorry.
He's a Tennessean now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he came in to the fellowship last night, and we had a pretty good night last night. I thought it was awesome time with the fellowship, singing and praise and worship. You know, the thing that I'm noticing more and more is the love that people are showing toward one another. You know, we always had it, but it just seems to be a more deeper and meaningful love, you know, where people really love one another, and it's awesome to see, watch it come together. Amen. Walking a holy life. Go, Tim.
Say what now?
You want to give? Do you have a testimony you'd like to give? Or?
Well, actually, I've got an emergency here in the house. I was trying to put the video off for a moment. I keep it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead. All right. Okay. I know it's going to go into to Ruth tonight. I'll have to make a confession. Y'all have to forgive me. I just hadn't even, I've been so busy here recently that I hadn't had a chance to get into Ruth at all. If somebody wants to get into it, we can. I don't, if y'all stated it, that'd be good. I still remember a little bit about it. Has anybody got some comments on Ruth chapter 3? I think that's where we are. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I think we're on Ruth chapter 3.
Michael, can I just say something?
Yes, sir.
I was kind of struck there by what Willie was saying tonight there about, and the word when he was talking about that surrender to the word. It just kind of hit me. The word that was coming out to me was consecration. And I've been reading, it seems like the Lord has had me for the last few weeks. I've been looking at the former and the latter rain. I think it's all connected with the Ezekiel 36 that I've been anchored down on for the last month or so, or a couple months or whatever. And the thing that was hitting me is that that consecration or dedication or surrender, that whole aspect is so connected with this holiness that Missy was talking about. By the way, Missy, who is that that you were reading from?
Andrew Murray, Abide in Christ.
Okay. And I know a few weeks ago you were reading, Michael, you were reading The Two Covenants by Andrew Murray. And I was listening to that. I know I read that a while back, but it was kind of this connected to the same thing. And I the Lord has kind of had me in this just for the last week or so, thinking about the aspects of the former and the latter rain. And how that promise is in His Word, that God is He gave the former rain, and of course we all look at the former rain as being the giving of the Spirit in Acts was the former rain, and that the latter rain is coming up later or here in the future. But I think what the Lord is kind of pointing to in my life is that there is this aspect, this same former and latter rain type that happens within us as Christians, as people of God. And I'm looking here, it's just actually when I was following the scripture that Missy was talking about, and I ended up on Hebrews 5:14, where it says but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And the Lord, I think the Lord kind of gave me a shift or a perspective change. I was in the shower the other morning, and He just kind of told me that the words in the New Testament, the scripture in the New Testament, were written mainly to Christians who had entered into the New Covenant relationship and had received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That in the book of Acts, when after Christ and the starting of Christianity, in the book of Acts, Paul and the apostles kind of corrected that transition where the Christians needed to enter into that fullness and receive the Holy Spirit, which was the former rain. And the majority of the scriptures, Thessalonians, Corinthians, Hebrews, Peter, James, John, you know, all these were written from that perspective to Christians of that time, of that day, and of that time, who had already been baptized in the Spirit, already received the former rain. And so, as I'm reading the scripture, I know that we're living in a day and age now, obviously, in the apostasy, in the falling away that is spoken of by the throughout the whole Bible, is that most of the majority of the church hasn't entered into that former rain. They are, shall we say, probably New Testament timed Christians in the New Testament living in an Old Testament relationship with God to a certain degree, living under the law, and ignorant or lacking the necessary perspective and faith that comes from the Spirit of God. And so when God is, it seems like that when the Lord is talking about these, about the early and the latter rain to us in the New Testament, that it seems that from that perspective that there is something more in a deeper relationship or a fuller anointing or something there that is that God has given that promise to his children. I got to go back here because I just was in Hebrews, was reading in Hebrews, and it kind of points out to what I was saying, is that in Hebrews chapter 3, saying, take heed, brethren, in chapter verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And he continues on, and he says, sorry, I'm stumbling around here. Let us, chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, etc. I'm not going to continue on. But it seemed like these scriptures and quite a few others where the apostles or the teachers are talking to these Christians who had already received that former rain, and yet he's encouraging them to go on into another step, a deeper step or whatever. And I'm saying this kind of like the blind man tapping in the dark. I'm still searching and seeking enlightenment in this area, I guess you might say. But it's like this is where the Lord has had me for the last few weeks. But I go back to that scripture in the end of Ezekiel 36, where God is talking about pouring out his Spirit, creating us in us a new heart, removing that stony heart of flesh, and bringing us into that state that he's talking about. I suspect it's the latter rain. And I'm stumbling here trying to find this verse. And the thing that hits me about it is that he says, thus saith the Lord, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them like men as a flock, etc., etc. So it's part of that. I'm kind of stuck in the darkness here and seeking for clarity on this, but I don't know if I'm rambling or not, but it seems like that there is a promise left to us to enter into this deeper fullness with the Lord that I know personally I have not entered into that depth. And I believe that the Lord has it for us. And I guess I kind of end up back in that, in what Willie is saying or was saying tonight, and that consecration or that surrender to the power, to the truth and reality of that word, and rest in that. So I guess I'm kind of rambling here at this point, but does any of that make sense?
Well, are you reading this in the letter, or are you providing spiritual insight into this? Is God giving you some spiritual insight into it? Where are you having your problems there, Pat? I hear you keep talking about that and not understanding. This is a spiritual chapter here from Ezekiel. And it's a good chapter. I like it. It's a good one.
You're asking where I'm having the problem?
Yes, sir.
I don't know.
Well, that nailed it.
I mean, that's kind of why I'm spouting off, maybe. if nobody has any idea, then I have good grounds for prayer here.
Well, we can go over some things here if you'd like.
Let me ask you a question. The latter rain that the Lord speaks about in the Word, and I think it's in, is it in Hosea that he speaks about the he will give the former and latter rain in the first month? What is that? What does that mean to you?
Well, that means that he's going to give us this latter rain anointing is going to come, and it's going to be for the first fruits. That's what it means to me. You have to put all of those type of scriptures together to get a full picture of what God's telling us. And coupled with all of the rest of them, I'm just quoting what David says, okay, is that the latter rain is for the first fruit ministry that's going to happen in the days that we're in now, okay? The former rain, of course, happened at Pentecost. You understand that. I think everybody understands that. We haven't even attained to the fullness of the former rain. In I'm talking about general speaking, and where we got signs and wonders following us, where we go. like Jesus did. The latter rain, in my humble estimation, is that the former rain plus the wisdom of God. You know, the full wisdom of God, because the latter rain anointing is going to give that man child the same thing that Jesus had. He's going to be talking with Jesus. I'm not going to do anything but what my Father tells me. That's my understanding of the latter rain. Now there's some more to it, but for what we're talking about here, you know, that's if somebody else got some more for it, go ahead. Yeah, Joe.
I actually got a question. You said where Jesus said, I'll do nothing but what the Father tells me. And that's what you believe. I mean, you know, I guess how you're understanding it, that'll be the latter rain. Was that for Jesus? Was that actually Jesus wasn't even, I don't know. I mean, at Pentecost, we know that's when the former rain came. For Christ, you know, when he was here, would that be considered the fullness of the former rain?
Jesus is the type and shadow for the man-child ministry.
Yep.
He was in the fullness. He was listening to God every step of the way, was he not? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just like Moses is a type and a shadow of the man-child. Just like Joshua was a type and a shadow. All of these old-time people. And of course, Jesus is the perfect example. Yep. Joshua was a good example. But that's the anointing that God's going to give this latter rain ministry. It's the one that Jesus had.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Exact one. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That's what it looks like to me.
That's what it's saying. Okay. Because I was thinking you were saying, well, the former rain came at Pentecost. I'm thinking we haven't received the fullness. And I was thinking, wait a minute,
No, I didn't say that. I said we haven't walked in the fullness of the former rain, the Pentecost. Okay, they had it at the first century. You see bits and pieces of it throughout history that people had it, but the church as a whole has walked out of it.
Okay,
They're not doing it. They're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Rain, where you're walking in perfection. Mm-hmm. Okay, where you're not only walking in perfection, the signs and wonders wherever you go when you preach the gospel is happening around you. Okay.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Okay.
What Jesus told us, Pat, is that. The things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. That's the man-child ministry. And greater things you're going to do. You know, that's the man-child ministry. That's the bride. That's all of that combined. Because God's going to have a lot of people out there, more than one Jesus, okay? A lot of people out there doing the same thing. That's the greater things. I don't know how he's going to do. You know, Jesus, check this out. When he went to that boat and John got on the boat, and then the boat was translated to port, wherever it was. That's something he did. He was transported from one place to another. Remember when he walked in the crowd and they wanted to stone him? Then he was out of there. God took him out of there. He walked through him. He said, probably walked through him in the spirit where they couldn't see him. That would have been spooky for me. But anyway, those kinds of things we're going to see in the days ahead as the former and the latter rain hits his people. People are going to be translated to pull people out of desperate places and circumstances and bring them to safety because they cried out to God. Just all kinds of, just look, you won't have to buy an airplane ticket to go somewhere to preach the gospel. You do like that pastor over there in Russia does. He just gets just believes that God's going to take him where he's got to go. That kind of stuff. We don't see that. We don't see it now, but you're going to.
I guess what I'm thinking is that the man-child ministry is going to be made up. The man-child ministry is one that obviously functions and will be functioning in this latter rain anointing. But the man-child ministry, or that body of the man-child, is going to be made up of individual people that are resting or have received, or that anointing is on them. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at the former rain and the latter rain as, I guess, being a microcosm, a type or a microcosm of what happens within us as individuals who will be participating, hopefully, in this man-child ministry. And so that latter early rain and latter rain process, principle, spirit, what that whole thing has to happen within me as an individual and you as an individual, so that we as individuals can rest in that anointing, unified anointing together. And so this is where I get, that is where I'm at right now. What do I need to do in my life to move from that or into that process, I guess, to cooperate with God?
That's a good question. That's a good question. There ain't but one way to get into it, Pat, and that's by faith. You just believe that you're going to be in it, and you start doing exactly what Jesus has been telling you to do through his word, you know. You walk in holiness. You walk in that perfection. You when you see evil come close, you know, you shun it. You cast it out. Those thoughts come in. You can't, you know, the same thing that you do for the bride, you do for the man-child, but you just believe that you're going to be in the man-child. Okay? It's a faith thing. It's all by, our whole walk is by faith. Everything we do. Go ahead, Andrew.
So we have to absolutely surrender to the word of God. Correct. That's mm-hmm. what was stated. Now I have some verses here. These are verses, and you know, we got to absolutely surrender to them. And it's in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to pick chapter 6. Verse 14 is when you're supposed to not be unequally yoked. Okay? It's talking about separating yourself from iniquity, a liar, idols, darkness, unbelievers. But I just want to go to where it says near the end of 16. I will dwell in them and walk. This is the Almighty God. I will dwell in them and walk and be their God. This sounds like the covenant in Hebrews chapter 8. I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be father to you, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then it goes on to 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear of God. And after this, the apostle is trying to convey how he should dispense this to the people. And that's a really good one to be absolutely surrendered to. And I think that that's something that's just so lovely to have, you know. Like I'm just stuck on the first one. I will dwell in them and walk. That's the Father. And of course, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. But there's the verse about walking in the light as he's in the light, and we shall have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse us from all our sin. But this indwelling of God is pretty fantastic. And I think there's a lot here for that former and latter reign, for the person who would actually have the absolute surrender of these verses that I just read here, especially the 7:1 there. And of course, it's all by faith, because this is so fantastic for our cleansing and perfecting holiness. And it's this last part of the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, in the fear of God. Now, I remember when I left the Catholic Church and I went to the Christian Reformed Church, up in the parking lot in my Camaro. I was the only one who had a Camaro. Some of the younger guys noticed, but this was back when I was in my early, in my 20s, late 20s. And this was a new Reformed church, and I was afraid to go in. And the Lord reminded me of this, and I was going, I was afraid to go in, but everyone else, it was just Sunday for them. They were going to go in and have their regular meeting. This was all regular to them. This was new to me. I was in the fear of the Lord. And you really want to please your Father at this point in time when you have this fear of the Lord. Because, you know, especially like if you compare it with your regular fathers for a chastening and stuff. So I'm just looking at these verses here, and I'm the flesh and the spirit, the defilement of flesh and spirit, you know, and you can have the verses come to your head when you know there's the verse in Romans 8:13-14. For this flesh thing, you know, and the spirit one is over there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, where it says, beloved, believe not every spirit. But, you know, that verse there in John where he says he's going to send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, you are in his name, and in his name is the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ, 19:13, or Revelation. So if he's gonna, if you have Christ in you, then his name is the Word of God that's in you. And the Holy Spirit's teaching you and reminding you constantly. So I believe he just comes along and does that for you when you really need him to do that. And it's just lately I've been in this kind of fear thing, trying to figure out what God wants, you know. And I just go back to that time when I had fear, when I wanted to go into that place, and I sometimes wonder why I don't have that all the time. You know, like to be humbled to the Lord, to respect the Lord in the fear of the Lord. How does that fear of the Lord collate with agape loving the Lord? You know, and you know, humbling yourself in being in meekness, emptying yourself. You know, when I read this just now, before I came on, I went to Philippians there where the Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself. You know, what did he have to empty? You know, that's what I often wonder, you know, like, why would he arrive to a place where he had to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in God's form, counted it not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at. Now, if he's dwelling in you and walking, like, there's some really interesting collating verses here that the Lord has given me here on this, and I don't know what to say about it. That it's warranting some investigation here as to absolute surrender. And putting to death this carnal man in the self life. So it brings me back to the, you know, the light that's supposed to be in your temple. You want to shine for the Lord, and it's just so wonderful that everything that he gives you, you in turn give it back to him. And it's almost like he's telling you how to love him and how to be like him. And it's given. I can't think of any other word better than that's kind of weird that so much is given to us. And it's like we're just scraping for more, and we shouldn't have to be. Anyway, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I like what you said. That's absolute surrender is absolutely what we need to do. And I was reminded while you were talking about that of John 15, you know, abide in Christ. You know, that's what he wants for us. 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that beareth, I don't want to get on down here where he says, abide in me, okay? He's telling us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. And the only way that we can abide in him is by faith and reading the word of God, right? We walk that. How do we keep these thoughts coming out of our fleshly mind?
There's a really good way. It's just hoping that God's going to put his word in there all the time for us, you know, because just as you were saying that, I was reminded of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me, which sounds very familiar to what you were saying right there, to abide in him. Just as you read it, I was going, that sounds like that. You know? And that's what I'd love to have a lot more of rather than this tempter coming around, is these words to come in there, and it's given to us for these words to come into us, you know. And it's a learning thing, and it's a reminder.
Yeah, I think that, I know that when you, on these types of verses here, Pat, I'm including you in this as well. When we meditate on these types of verses here, and like Andrew says, these verses will come back to us when that tempter comes out there. He comes back on and says, well, I don't know, you know, you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you need to call this one somebody, or you need to do this, or whatever, you know. When we say, well, no, it says right here, I need to abide in the vine. I need to abide in Christ. That's what I need to do. And when you're abiding in Christ, you cast those things down. Devil, it's written right here. All of those, and like Andrew said, God's going to bring these. If you're faithful with him, he'll be faithful with you. Absolute surrender. That's what he wants, is absolute surrender. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Hang on, Sue, I'll get to you. I was talking to David the other day, and I'll just come out and say it. I was murmuring. You know what murmuring is? I was complaining. I said, Lord, David, I don't know if you got the same problem that I got, but I don't have this problem. You always try to talk around this faith thing. You know, I don't have this problem, but it's something that's a symptom trying to come on me, and I need to, you know, we start talking that away. And I just told him, I said, I have a memory problem. I can't remember for 1 minute. I have trouble memorizing. You know, you change your speech. I have trouble memorizing. He said, well, join the crowd. He said, they've been spraying us for years now, and said that what we have to do, and I knew this, I just needed some confirmation, is just believe that God is going to do it when we need it. You know, we put it in it. The Lord said he'd do it. He said, when you put it in there, God's going to be faithful to bring it out when you need it. But our problem is putting it in there, you know, getting your nose stuck in there. I'm going to tell you something that the Lord has told me, and that is this. Now's the time. Now's the time to get serious with the Lord. If you get serious with the Lord, you're going to be fine. But if you're not serious and you got 1 foot in the world, you got 1 foot in the kingdom, that's what they say. When you got a foot in the kingdom, you got a foot in the world, you ain't in the kingdom, you're in the world, okay? Let's just put it like it is. So our focus has to be on the Lord. You know, our flesh gets us off on rabbit trails a lot of times. But just like it says in Matthew, I believe it's 6:31, when you run after the Lord with all your heart, this other stuff will fall into place, okay? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about what this or that's going to happen, because you got your mind and eyes on Jesus. Jesus knows what you want and what you need. He'll fix it. And when the time's right, things will fall into place, and you'll have the desires, okay? Go ahead, Sue.
You were talking about the first fruits and the former rain and the latter rain. It made me think about I used to have peach trees and other kind of fruit trees, and we had a garden and stuff. But I was thinking about the former rain made me think about like the first fruits, or you know, when you have something growing, when you first get some of the crop, that's like the first fruits, right? And so then, and then usually that's like for peaches, it's like towards the middle of summer. But then the latter harvest is greater than the first harvest. That latter harvest is sweeter than the first harvest. From my own experience with the peaches in the first harvest, they're good, but they're not the same. And they're staggered, you know, there's a little bit here, and then the next month or two, or not month, but a week, couple weeks, so there's another couple, you know. But the last harvest is greater and juicier, they're better. And to me, that makes me think of tribulation, because usually when we had grapes too, usually when there wasn't much rain, towards the end, like in August, or, you know, towards the end of the summer, there wasn't as much rain as there was in the beginning of the summer. So it was lacking some, you know, rain. And so in order for it get, you know, it's like the tribulation, the hardness of the weather, the heat in the summer, the lack of rain made the fruit juicier, which makes me think about the more, you know, the tribulation, the more trials and tribulations that we go through, it makes me think of the latter rain, the more we go through that, the sweeter Christ comes into us, you know, the sweeter we are in Christ, you know, we grow more in Christ. Does that make sense to you guys? I don't know.
Amen. That's amen. What comes to me anyway. Yeah, it does. Well, strawberries, same way.
Yeah. So okay. When I think of the latter rain, I think of the tribulation, and there's many. It's like corporate. It's more of a corporate thing. Like you were saying, there wasn't enough in the former, not very much in the former rain, because there was only a few here and there, and that's the way it was with the garden and everything. You know.
Well, what I meant was the first century church had it, but then as time rolled on and they got away from the Lord in the church, you didn't see it, you know, except for right. Little spots and dims.
Right, right. That's what I mean by the little bit of fruit in the beginning. But towards the end, it's the tribulation when it's the hardest time for the fruit to develop. That's when they're the ripest and they're the best. And it's a corporate. There's a whole bunch. All of a sudden, you got a lot of peaches to take care of, because that's what happened with me.
That's okay. All. I was wondering what happened to you. Amen. Amen. What are you doing, Judy?
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, gosh. We're running out of time. Well, we can pick this up. Let's pick up. I know we talked about Ruth, but this, the Holy Spirit, we just allow the Holy Spirit to take us and think some more about holiness and perfection through Christ and that kind of way for Thursday night. And let's along with Pat, let's just see where we can go with this, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, boy, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. And I know by faith that you're going to plant these verses and scriptures in our minds and in our spirit, and that when the time comes, that we the filing cabinet's going to work, and it's going to open up and come right out, and we're going to be able to spit it out. Lord, I thank you that you've healed all of us, all of our memories, all of our recall. And Father, we thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us in the days ahead. going to give us a good night's sleep tonight. Let us all place in us a hunger for the word, that we just meditate on those good words that you've got for us, Lord. And I thank you for doing all that you can for us, Lord. And that means if we're doing all we can, you're going to bring us through. And that absolute surrender will be there for us. Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Let me get everybody unmuted here. All right.